We're in lesson 94 in the book of Ephesians, and we left off last lesson talking about some angelic beings and principalities and places and in high places. You're in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 3 right quick. And as we was looking at some angelic things, the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church by the manifold wisdom of God. Ephesians 3, verse 10, is that where we're at? There you go. See, what God is doing today, if you understand the Word of God rightly divided, He's working through Paul the Apostle to get us some information out. Paul is our apostle to the body of Christ. It's not Peter, it's not James, it's not John. They are apostles, are they not? But they're to the nation Israel. And God is not forming a nation, but forming a body of Christ today. So therefore, God switched it up a little bit. Now, has God changed? No. Has He ever changed? No. But He dealt man's change. But God through Paul says this, verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. There's something that was hid in God, not in His Word. Hid in God before the foundations of the earth, before the creation. Yes?
If it was hid in God and the nation of Israel did respond, is that why it was hid in God? Because he wouldn't have to.
Now, I see what you're saying, but there's a group out there, Howard, that talks about this message was hid in Abraham, in His Word, but they didn't know it. Now, if that's the case, who is, outside of Daniel and a few other people in the Bible, who is the wisest creature that God ever created?
Satan.
Satan. Okay? And Satan's so wise with his craftiness and trickery that he's counterfeiting God. Okay? So if he had known this, the reason why this is a mystery that God kept secret, because of what he is in telling to take care of the heavens. You got to remember, when God created the heaven and earth, this is what we've been studying about, right? He didn't create the heavens and earth, like some Bible says. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. The heavens didn't come on until along chapter 2, chapter 3. So, God created that. When Satan had fallen, he becomes the prince and power of the what? The air. He controls that blue sky out there. That's the first heaven. Where the stars are at, that's the second heaven. And then there's a third heaven. Okay? Where God Almighty is sitting. He don't control that. So he still, if this message was hid and Israel had taken it, okay, it still would not take care of the heavenlies. So that's why it was hid in God and before the foundations. Because if they had known, the Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, no, chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says, if the princes of this world had known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Mm-hmm. See?
They would have not allowed him. But we also know by Psalms that Israel, imagine this now, Israel was to take the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and bound Him to a blazing offer and sacrifice Him. You think about how in the world could they do that? You know, there's people out there, a lot of religions sacrifice people, don't they? Mm-hmm. But He was supposed to be a sacrifice of the Lamb, and He was going to die, and He was going to not let nobody stop it. But getting back here, it says, verse 9, to make all men see, we just read that. Verse 10, what? The intent that now, until the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in who? Christ Jesus our Lord. God Almighty, back, they had a grace conference. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had a conference way back here before the world began and said, listen, in due time, you're going to come over here and you're going to die. And in due time, I'm going to make a church over here that's going to take care of the heavenly places. That can't take place until this time because of what was taking place. But we were talking about the angelic creation knows something. That's what we talked about last week. They're looking over the realm of the universe, and they're looking at the church, the body of Christ. They're looking at you guys right now and saying, that's what grace is about? You know, and they're saying, wow. And you think about that, they have been around since the conflict began with the adversary. And they're seeing the living demonstration in you and I, the church, the manifold words. The Bible talks about the church, the local church, is a pillar and ground of the truth. It's not an organization. It's not a denomination. It's the local church. That's why it's very, very important to support your local church that teaches right division. And they've been around for a while. And you know what? They've been around. We're following through with this angelic creation that's in the heavenly places right now. You know they've been around a lot of major events in the Bible. Remember Jacob's dream? Jacob falls asleep in Bethel, and he makes a stone pillow, and he dreams what? Remember his dream?
Ladder.
That ladder is going from the earth to the heaven. And what does it say the angels are doing?
Descending.
Ascending and descending as well.
What was that again?
Descending or
ascending and descending.
So they're leaving the earth and going up and they're coming back. That's a purpose, the reason being that doing that, because God was showing that his authority is in this earth. The authority that he was going to make through Israel is in this earth. They didn't come from the heaven down and up. It's opposite. So they was here in Jacob's dream, he's setting authority on this earth. In Job 38, he said, when God laid the foundations of the earth, of the world, the sons of God sang with joy. He talks about, in Galatians chapter 3, that the law was given to Moses by the hand of a mediator. And that's an angel received the law by dispensation of angels. Then when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, was they not there? And then when he was resurrected, was he not there? When he talks about Israel in Luke chapter 15, about the repentance of Israel, he says the angels in heaven rejoice over one that repents. So they're there watching, and they're there doing all kinds of stuff. So let's not forget they're watching us right now. I'm talking about no guardian angel, that type of thing. You know, we talked about let Jesus take the wheel and let the angels drive, and I'm going to be, you know, that type of thing. I'm like, wouldn't that be nice for him to drive my truck all day and all that? You know, I'll sit in the back. But no. Do you know what God is doing today? What's he doing? He's forming a body of believers that he's going to restore the heavenly places under his authority. This is deep, guys. This is meat. You know, when you first become a Christian, they baby feed you, don't you? Remember when you was a little baby? Probably not.
The milk of the word.
You know, they give you a little bit. They burp you. You know, pat your back and then wipe your mouth, and they give you a little more. You don't give a baby a full steak. You know, I was talking to Dale. Dale's been a chef, right? You know, and all that stuff. And he's like, you got to watch what kind of food you eat. You got to know your customers. You know, and you got to know what they're eating and stuff. But look, when he's going to restore the heavenly places under authority, he will use nation Israel to restore the earth. But he used the body of Christ, the church, the body of Christ today, to restore the heavenly places. And the angelic hosts are being told that the heavens are safe right now. If the prince and power of the air, that's Satan, he controls the first and second heaven, you not think he's not telling the angelic hosts up there, hey, it's safe up here. You see what's going down there on the earth? Israel's having a whole problem. Israel's taking over. But you're safe up here. But let me ask you this. Satan never feared for the heavens until the body of Christ was made manifested. See, this is another reason why we've kept the mystery. This is another reason why now we need to expose this mystery. Because Satan hates the simplicity of this message, guys. He hates it. And he's never even dreamed about it being lost to him and to the body of Christ, this heavenly agent. You got to understand what God is doing today. If you hold up this chart, this is the timeline of your Bible and the prophecy, prophetic program. Everybody wants to know about prophecy. You ever notice that? You have a prophecy conference here tomorrow, this week. You'd have to have 16 services here because you couldn't get everybody in here.
That's a good idea.
You know? But the thing is, you know, seriously, they would all fall into that. They want to know. They write books and they read watch movies and stuff. But this timeline right here is the timeline of what Israel's doing on this earth. This is the earthly ministry, the prophetic program. But what they don't fail, what Satan failed to see, is this dispensation of grace, what God is doing that kept secret in him. And that's this program right here today that's been going on since Acts chapter 9. And it don't have a date to stop. Everybody's waiting on the rapture. All May 25th. I'll never forget that time. A guy's dead and gone. He owns that big old radio station, Family Time. What was his name? Lived out in California. Old guy, billionaire. Kept money in. What is his name? But anyway, he talked about May 20-something, the end of the world's going to come. The church is going to be raptured out of here. Well, my son and I and a couple other people was at a ball game in Cleveland, Ohio, watching Cincinnati Reds lose to the Cleveland Indians. And at 6 o'clock, the guy said the earth's going to, you know, the church is going to be taken out of here. Well, about 5 till 6, clouds started rolling in. And I punched my son. I said, look, he shall ascend on the clouds. You know, and Josh was like, Dad, you know, 6 o'clock came, ball game still going on. About 6:01-ish, some guy stood up, a couple rows down. We're still here. We're still here. And it's like, I thought he's mocking God. But that's what religion does, right? They follow men, and they don't follow the Bible. There's no time that God's going to save 12:05 today, 11:45 today, Tom and Barb's going to get raptured out of here. Okay, you know what I mean? Yeah, bye. Yeah. No, you know what I'm saying? He tells us to be ready, to be steady. These are military terms. But look, he never dreamed about this. And the two diverse elements, the heaven and earth, they are as different as night and day, aren't they? You got the heavens up there. We can't see what's going on up there. But what we've been over in the lessons, we understand that there's government authorities up there. Same as here on this earth. And that's what we've been looking at. What's God doing today? He's demonstrating what he can do and take diverse realms, take the heaven and earth, two diverse, two non-coexistent, well, they're going to coexist with each other, and puts it under one realm. Now, Satan don't have that. Even though he's the god of this world, he's running the governments. He's running the programs here. And the Prince of Power of the Air, he's running that. But he's not running the third heaven where God is at. And what God the Creator is going to do, he's going to put them on one headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to work in perfect harmony. They're not working in harmony today. You co-work with people. Are you working in harmony with them 24/7? No, it's hard. But there's going to be a day. Do you know what he's doing today? The Jew and the Gentile are two types of people, aren't they? And God himself separated them with Abraham. Circumcision, uncircumcision. Israel, Jews, Gentiles, nations. They're two different type of people. You know that by Ephesians chapter 2. Wherefore, remembering time past, God, right? He made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision. God did. He separated them. He built a wall between them. The middle wall partition. You should read Ephesians chapter 2. We've done been over how many times? 1900 times. He says, I will separate them. And I made it so. Circumcised and uncircumcised. But now, in Christ Jesus, he broke down that middle wall partition. You don't have to go through Israel to get to God. Israel don't have to go through you to get to God. Everybody's down here on an equal basis, and that's only made through with the possible Paul the Apostles. But what Christendom today does, they don't show you the fall of Israel, and God has not forgot about them, but set them aside, according to Romans. And set them aside, they make you back up here, bring the Gentiles to be back up here. Well, God's not doing that today. He's taking the believing Jew and the believing Gentile and puts them in one body today and equally and functioning as a unit. You know what you have? You have God Almighty taking those two diverse elements and putting them in one head, one body, and making Jesus Christ head of it all. Nowhere in your Bible except Paul's epistles will you ever know Jesus Christ as being ahead of a body. That he's forming a body. He's always been king of a nation. Now he's ahead of a body. And his head doesn't think we have the mind of Christ. We're part of his body. Now each one of us is different. We function differently. Each one of our members is functioning differently. But we're under one head, aren't we? Our mind. And we should know what God is doing. And what God is doing in the ages to come. So Satan and his hosts looks down and looks at you and I. And when we function to whom God has made us, we demonstrate the vitality of God's eternal purpose. We validate what he is doing. They get upset about that. And they sit around and wait till you fall. They sit around and say, he's going to stumble. And God said, my grace is sufficient. And we do stumble, don't we, guys? Mm-hmm. You know, we stumble miserably. But we don't beat ourselves up because when you're in Christ Jesus, there's a whole different world to look at than you not out of Christ Jesus. I've been out of Christ in my younger days, and it's most miserable when I thought that there was life out there. That life that I was leading before I come to understanding who I was in Christ Jesus brought death. The wages of sin is what?
Death.
If you continue in the lifestyle that you're in before you got saved, it's going to bring death. Period. And there's a conflict up there between the elect and the fallen angels. And they're watching us and waiting. We looked at the elect angels are those ones that didn't fall with Satan. And they're still up there, guys. If you know your Bible, there's going to come a time when Jesus Christ leaves the third heaven, comes down through the universe, and he creates such a havoc when he comes through the universe. The Bible talks about he rolls it up like a scroll and shakes it like a bad apple tree. What happens to an apple tree when you shake it?
Apple falls.
Mostly the what? The ripe ones. You really got to shake it to get that one. How many likes apples? I remember I always wanted that one way up there. You know? And it wasn't coming out unless I went up there and broke the limb. Or I went up there or took an apple. And usually when you took another apple and you hit it, it went, you know, 15 feet the other way and you couldn't catch it and hit the ground. And then it's, you know, busted open stuff. That picture of the apple tree, when God shakes that universe, he shakes all the bad apples to this earth. Their falling places right here. All those ones that went with Satan. So just keep in mind, there's governments up there right now as working as same as governments down here. We use the illustrations all the time. Have you ever worked with an unsaved person? Of course you have. So the government's still going on up there. And you got to think about that. Our conduct, the integrity of who we are, and our righteousness before God is important. Would you agree or disagree? You should agree. You need to enjoy your righteousness before Almighty God. Not walk around like a bunch of puppets. You know, Yes, God. You know, God don't want that. He wants you to enjoy who you are in Himself. There is liberty. There is life. And I'm enjoying life now more than I ever did. I really am. Because I know who I am in Christ. I know where I'm seated in Christ. And that's a wonderful thing. God knows fundamentalism, you know what that is, today is full of all kinds of performance-based systems. You know what that means? You work for this. God's going to give you this if you do this. And God's going to give you this, and He's going to see. God's not doing that, Dave. That's a performance-based system. And you really got to almost look like a nut to measure up. You ever notice that? The things that we've done in Christendom out there in a religious system just to have favor with God, when all we was doing just trying to please our neighbor. You ever notice that? Or doing what the preacher said to do because we thought it was the right thing to do. He'll have you doing everything. Crazy stuff. You got to study your Bible. You know, they talk about you have to have your hair cut a certain way and your clothes a certain way and this and that. That's not the right thing to do. You know who you are in Christ Jesus. And you enjoy the righteousness that is you have in Christ. And if you can't be there, you can't do it all. You know that. But when you're genuine and who you are in Christ Jesus, that makes a difference. Isn't that who you really want to be? I do. You know, I want to be the same in my house as I was the same outside my house. I don't want to put on, what do you put on the what?
Airs.
Yeah, dogs or put on the, what is it?
Show.
The reds or what? I don't want to do that because that's not me. I want to be who I am with you. I think most of you know that. I think when we're getting here, we're a little orthodox in our gathering sometimes, and I want you to be yourself. I tell people, kick your shoes off, make yourself at home. You know, sometimes we have donuts back there, we got coffee, we got tracks. And I love to see you guys. The issue is there, and the issue is far as the heavens impact, and that's a wonderful position to be in. You're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And back in Ephesians chapter 6. That was just an introduction from last week. Now we're getting ready to get there. You know, I know many of you got places to go, so I'm here the rest of the day. So just joking. Look. The rest, Ephesians 6:12, it's a spiritual combat that all of us has the privilege and responsibility of being part of. Verse 16 says, Paul starts out, wherefore? In other words, he says, because of the wiles of the devils before that, that you are up against, because of the intensity which the adversary fights the battles, you need to be remembered of those terms. You need to remember the descriptions in verse 12. And you understand the impact of your ministry against Satan's policy, plan of evil. Your ministry, our ministry, a member of the body of Christ, has an impact on Satan's program and his policy. And it's serious. That's just because he is tricking does not mean he's not serious about it. Satan is very, very serious about his plan, his policy of evil that he started back in the garden. Well, way before the garden, when he fell out of the throne of God. He was a cherubim. He led the worship service over the throne of God. There was five cherubims there, by the way. And he fell. So there's four today. But he led the worship service. You see a lot of people leading worship services today. They put more emphasis on entertainment than they do the Word of God. And then when the Word of God is preached, well, I hope that long-winded preacher ain't, you know, he done went 3 minutes. You know what I mean? You sit there and your flesh starts boiling up and you want to get out of there. But look, a lot of people are tricked and clever, but there's a never serious about what they're doing when they trick you. But Satan's methodology could be something different than a sly or crafty schemes he uses. He tries to overcome you. If he could, and he would. He can't because of verse 10. What does verse 10 say? Finally, be what? Be strong in the who?
Lord.
And the power of his what?
Might.
He refers to the power of Christ and his might. In other words, God's program and you are a part of it. In Christ you are strong and the strength and you're standing in that. You and I, we may feel strong. We ain't no match against the devil. You know that, don't you? Some of us try to stand and say, come on, devil, I'll take you on. I'll punch you out. You know, that type of thing. He'll punch you out. He'll pull that rug out from under you and say, who are you to do this? Who are you to tell somebody about the gospel of the grace of God? Who are you to tell somebody that they can be saved? We think about that, don't we?
Yeah.
All the time. We beat ourselves up and Satan goes, yep, got them. Trick them, fool them. Trickery's in your mind, guys. You know who you are in Christ. I tell people all the time, you know enough Bible now that you can go out there and share some dispensational truth with people and not even flinch. All but they'll just tell them what you know. Show them in the Bible. And it does not mean that Satan's serious. He is deadly serious about what he's doing. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. What, how much of it?
Uh-huh.
All of it, of God. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Let me ask you this. You know what the word, the Greek word wrestle, we get, what is it? What is it?
Whistle.
Whistle, no. Wrestle. No, we get the word gym from that. Gymnasium. Okay? You know what that means in the Greek? You ever looked it up? You know what they do when they wrestled in Greek? They wrestled naked. They didn't have anything on. So that's just flesh and blood. We wrestle flesh. So we are, when we wrestle against flesh and blood, you're not prepared. For we wrestle not against. See? But what does it say? That word literally means that. If a naked God, does he have any armor on? No, he don't. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle in a gym. I wrestled for 4 years in high school. I had clothes on. The world would not accept that at all. But the thing is the fact that you ain't got no armor on. This is where we're going with this. And you want to see the way he mixes the words together. He's worth the whole armor of God. Okay? He's talking about getting in a uniform that somebody is going to see. And he's using the expression about the whole armor of God in a figure of speech. And he's descending the spiritual armor, and that's what it is, the doctrinal armor, which you have wrapped your clothes of your soul. You with me? You and I don't walk around with a helmet on and a breastplate and gird it with a loins. I don't see that on you. So where is it at?
In your mind.
In our mind or in our what? Soul. See? And it's not going down and buying some fatigues and getting that kind of dress. You can go to the store and buy all kinds of armor. But that's not the issue here. It isn't the way you dress and that kind of thing. It's the doctrinal armor on your soul. It's the spiritual truth, the spiritual armor for that inner man. That's where the battle is, guy. In your spirit, in your soul, in your body. Listen, there's soldiers out there that carry 90-pound sacks on them all the time. And a 20-pound plate armor. And guns. And boots. And helmets. We can physically see that, can't we? And we can physically see what they are up against. Night and day, they're trying to do that. But if you look at each piece of armor, I got a few more minutes. Okay? Of the armor, the girdle, the breastplate, the shoes. The shield and the sword. How many are that? How many is that? There's six of them. And each one of them represent the Lord Jesus Christ in the aspect of who Jesus Christ has made you and I. Notice, take up to you the whole armor of God. Is it something that you just reach out and pick up and take? He says what? You put it on. And there's a verse that we turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13. Romans 13. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Romans 13, verse 11 says, and that knowing the time, that now is the high time to wake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Verse 11, 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor what? Light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, not in chamberlain or wantonness, not in strife or envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust what? Thereof. It's the opposite of works of darkness. Many of us have been in darkness. He's talking about our what? Walk. He's talking about a walk. And you have to put on a certain kind of walk. A lifestyle reflects of light and life. It is our protection. It is armor against the flesh. You put on the armor of light, Ephesians 5, 8, 13. We studied that out before. We already discussed what the Greek tale is. Be turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Get 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in strife, imprisonments, in torments, in laborings, in watching, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and fame, by the word of faith, for the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You see that armor of light in Romans 13 we was talking about? Here is the armor of righteousness. On what? Both hands.
Right hand and left.
You know, this is something big. And on both hands means every situation that we're in, we have the armor of God. We have the armor of righteousness on us. And the lifestyle righteousness, that practical righteousness living in your life in order to get armor, that protection. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For what? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Now, I described a soldier a little while ago, and the weaponry and armor he had, is that carnal?
Mm-hmm.
It's flesh. But we also, we don't war against the flesh, okay? Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of the strongholds. There, you know them strongholds? Principalities and powers, strongholds? Notice that these are weapons of might. And you're going to read about the details of the weapons in Ephesians chapter 6 when we get to it. They are not carnal. They're not physical. They're not fleshly things, but they're mighty through God. That's where the power's at anyway. And that's where the weaponry and the armor that we have. Listen, you and I cannot do it by ourselves. Period. We need those weapons. That's why it's very, very important to understand that God, even when he dealt with the nation Israel, he dealt with warfare and armor, and he did a fighting for them. In the body of Christ today, he's preparing us how to defend this gospel, how to defend the rights of who we are, and stand, and be all we ever do is withstand. And the pulling them down, casting down what?
Imagination.
That's vain thoughts, empty thoughts. Wonder if there's this out there. Wonder if there is a God. Wonder if vain imaginations. Listen, when you don't put the right doctrine in your mind, it creates a vacuum and it will suck any type of doctrine down in there to fill that void. All kinds of stuff. We've been there, haven't we? Many of us got t-shirts, been on trips, you know, that type of thing. Vain, their thoughts, filling. But when you put the right doctrine in your mind and you start filling up your brain with your spirit, with it, don't that make a difference?
Amen.
It kind of keeps that vain thoughts away. And every high thing that exalted himself against who? Against the knowledge of God and bringing in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Guys, it has to do with that mental attitude towards things. It has to do with the doctrinal structure in your soul that brings out the thinking process in captivity. You bring that stuff into captivity and you can control it, can't you? And you say, that's not real. That's not right. Get rid of it. Daily, your thoughts, stuff coming in your mind. Daily. I got a little depressed there the other day, you know, with this house selling type of thing. And, you know, everything was hunky-dory, and all of a sudden, boom, we get an email saying the guy has more debt than the loan value. And I'm like, what? Unbelievable. I think he should pay 3 months' mortgage. You know, I've got to bring my thoughts. So I was like, tell Leon, I said, I didn't come up Saturday. I sat down there and destroyed a wall. You know? Uh-huh. Then I took a wall out where we're staying. I'm like, but I should have brought my thoughts in captivity, right? Subjection. Even in that atmosphere, I can still bring that into a godly influence of saying, you know something? It'll work out. It'll be okay. That type of thing. Instead of saying, whoa, woe is me. You know, that type. Go through the passages like this and you understand. But the issue is armor is not something new. Ephesians 6, you're back in. Paul is talking about the armor that is designed to give you protection, not against the flesh, not against the world, but against the adversary. You know what he's talking about? Throwing them darts. And fiery darts. Satan throws them fiery darts, right? You know, darts hurt. Mm-hmm. And if you can throw it at a certain period, you can hit your neck. You can do all kinds of stuff. I know we used to throw darts, you know, at a game. And you gotta hit a 12, gotta get that 20. You practice. Each one of these is referenced that we're talking about. And I'm gonna go through one of them right quick. These pieces of armor is referenced indirectly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those pieces of armor. Go to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. If you got your right Bible, page 723.
What number?
723, if you got the right Bible.
I've got the right Bible.
And if you push these things too strongly in this regard, you can't make them all out this way as far as being Jesus Christ. But you can see some points that God made throughout the Bible in reference to who he is. Isaiah 11, 5. Isaiah 11, 5. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his what? Loins, faithfulness in the girdle of his reins. The Lord Jesus Christ relates to and has a what? Girdle. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And the girdle is faithfulness, being faithful and true to cause, for this cause in God's standards. Righteousness is the girdle of the loins, and faithfulness is the girdle of his reins. In connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, you see the issue of the girdle with Paul's armor, don't you? Are you back? Hold your finger in Ephesians 6 now. Ephesians 6. See, verse 14, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness. You see those two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In connection to the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that issue of girdle. The Lord Jesus Christ says what? I am the way and the truth. So Ephesians 6 has a girdle of what? Truth, right? Jesus Christ. Hold your finger there. Go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17. And he saw that there was no man. Isaiah 59, verse 16 and 17. And wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness sustained him. For he put on the righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he puts the garments of vengeance for clothing, and it was clad with a zeal as a cloak. The ideal of righteousness as a breastplate is exactly what Paul's saying in Ephesians chapter 6, a helmet of salvation, which is exactly what Ephesians chapter 6 is saying. With me?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the breastplate of righteousness? Who has the helmet of salvation on? Who has the girt of truth? You know who he's describing. He's describing the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Christ wears the girdle. He puts on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. And he also has his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's what Isaiah 52 says. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, and bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation there upon Zion. We studied these passages back in Romans chapter 10 in the past. That relates to Ephesians chapter 6, the gospel of what? Peace. But Isaiah 52, 7 is a reference of Romans 10 and Ephesians chapter 6. But let's look at a couple more right quick. Isaiah 49 and Psalms 91. I'll read them to you if you don't want to turn there. Isaiah 49, verse 2, if you're taking notes. And Psalms 91.4.
John?
Psalms. Psalms 91 and Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 verse 2 says, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. So the sword of the Spirit is the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, guys, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back over here, second coming, he's not coming low and meek and mild. He's coming back with fire and vengeance, and it's not going to be pretty. Okay? His eyes are going to be glowing, and his sword of truth is going to come out of his mouth. He's going to devour things. Psalms 91:4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Ephesians refers to as a shield of what? Faith. In Ephesians chapter 6, well, the terminology of those things, five of the six of those things are found in the book of Isaiah itself. In Ephesians chapter 6, you have the whole armor of God. And verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. And verse 13 says, take you to you the whole armor of God. The idea of the armor is the appropriation of who we are in Lord Jesus Christ. You're taking that stand in who he is. We can be able to fight. We can make good decisions, can't we? Mm-hmm. Based on a lot of things, if you think about that. I'm going to leave off there, and we'll pick it up next week about the trickery, continue the trickery, and wherefore take the whole armor of God, and we'll be able to move on a little more. Any comments, questions?
Putting on and resting.
Sir?
Putting on and resting.
And rest. Rest. And that is hard to do sometimes, isn't it?
Amen.
Because you know, we talk about Satan's all the time attacking us, and we just forget about who we are. I think about Adam in the garden. They had the righteousness of God. You know, we talk about rainbows and the glory. They had it all. God. And the minute that they fall into sin, what did they want to do? They covered themselves with fig leaves. They covered themselves with a religious system. Okay? And they covered themselves, and from that point on, they've been trying to cover themselves, and God says, rest in me. Yes, Paul.
Well, another good news about what we just studied is that we can stand when we have a problem because there is no covering for our backside. We're not supposed to run away.
No.
We're supposed to stand.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And if you think about where you're standing, and I always think about that backside too, if you're members of the body of Christ, they're standing right there with you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't retreat. And if you did, I'm behind you. Your fellow members are behind you. And you just move forward. Them movies, I'm telling you, like, you ever seen that 300?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, that's a great picture of the satanic world that's coming down on those 300 people and how they guard themselves. And they stood. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. Lord, thank you.
In military movies, you'll see the first guys fire and then they'll go low. Guys behind them.
Yeah.
Fire.
Yeah.
So there's like
a barrage.
Yeah.
But you know, the warfare, like the Revolutionary War, could you imagine marching and doing what you're saying? The first one takes a knee, fires, there's none, and they just stood there. Today it's, you know, guerrilla warfare and all that stuff. You know, I'd much rather send a missile than stand there. But you know, I think about the infantry. You know, they don't run for bullets. They stand there. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.